Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you today. Today, we're beginning a three-week sermon series called Living Our Missions, and it's based upon our new mission statement, Concord's new mission statement. This mission statement was approved by our church council last fall and our charge conference last fall. And so our mission statement, you know, mission statement is what kind of guides us and directs us. Our mission statement going into this year and for the next couple of years is Concord Church is a Christ-centered community that exists to worship, teach, and serve as we share the good news of Jesus Christ in a broken world. If someone was to walk into a congregation for the very first time and they asked, well, what kind of church is Concord Church? What would we want them to see? What would we want them to experience? Or maybe a better question, or we could phrase it better this way, is what kind of people is God forming us to be? Now, every church has a public identity. It's known by its music style, its programs, personalities. But underneath all of those descriptions lies a deeper spiritual truth. We become what we center our lives around. We become what we center our lives around. Some churches center their lives around tradition. Others center around events or personalities. Still others are centering around comfort, you know, doing what seems familiar and safe. But our mission statement calls us to a different center. It declares loudly and boldly, Concord Church is a Christ-centered community. It's not, these are not small words. These are not window dressing. This is a theological declaration that we are making, that Jesus Christ is the center of all that we do. This is our foundation. This is the gravitational pull of everything. Because if Jesus is not at the center, everything begins to drift. Our heart focus, our priorities, our mission, even our worship. But when Jesus is at the center, everything aligns. Our purpose becomes clear. Our hearts are renewed, and our worship becomes more than a routine. It becomes a response to God's grace. And so today we're going to be talking about the first facet of our mission by looking at worship. What worship truly is, how worship shapes us, and what it means to live as a people who worship Jesus, not just on Sunday morning, but with our entire lives. And so let us turn again to that scripture that explains for us a worship that dwells and shapes us. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, through all wisdom as you teach and admonish one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. You know, Paul's words here in Colossians 3 are not casual. These are vision-building words. Paul tells us right off the bat, worship begins with what and who dwells at our center. Right, the very first line is crucial. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. And that word dwell in Greek means to make a home. And I think it's important for us to recognize that dwell is a verb. It's not a noun. It's an action. You know, making a home isn't something that just happens. You actually have to do it. You know, many of you know that Jan's parents recently moved to the area, and anybody who's ever moved knows that there is a ton of work that goes into it. Boxes are unpacked. Kitchens have to be arranged. Beds are put together. Making a home, making a dwelling, is a ton of work. To dwell doesn't mean you're staying in a hotel, right? There is no work in that. And it's not a Sunday-only visit. It's Christ taking up residence in you. Paul is reminding the Colossian believers, he's reminding us that worship begins long before we even begin to sing. Worship begins when Christ finds a home in our hearts, in our minds, in our priorities, in our decisions. In our Wesleyan tradition, we speak of God's grace that is at work within us. This grace that awakens us and forgives us and cleanses us and empowers us. Worship is one of the chief ways that it does its work, forming us into a people that reflect the heart of Christ. And the hard reality is that if something lives at our center, we will worship that instead. If comfort dwells at our center, we're going to worship convenience. If fear dwells at the center, we're going to worship security. If self dwells at the center, we're going to worship our preferences. If politics dwells at the center, we're going to worship our tribe. But if Christ truly dwells at the center, worship becomes both a look upward to God and a look inward at what God is forming us into. Because worship begins long before we even set foot in church, or it should. Now, the second thing that Paul tells us is that worship is not just an expression, it is formation. Paul says that when Christ dwells among you richly, something begins to happen. We teach, we encourage, we admonish, we sing with grateful hearts. Worship is not merely expressive, it is formative. And there's a difference between singing about God and being shaped by God. Worship teaches us how to see God. Worship reminds us of what God has done. Right? We don't come here to sing about our accomplishments. We sing to our Heavenly Father. Worship is not about us. It is about our Savior. And when we worship, the Holy Spirit will come and correct us when we drift. Through worship, our desires and our identity are shaped. Our Methodist roots believe that worship practices like prayer and reading scripture, hymn singing, and communion were means of God's grace. That when we do these things, when we come before God and we experience these means of grace, God meets us and changes us. And it doesn't matter if we're feeling it. It doesn't matter if the worship is to our liking. Often God will meet us when we are dry and weary, empty or uncertain or distracted. Because worship lifts us, reorients us, and restores our hearts. Worship forms our minds by dwelling on Scripture. Worship forms our hearts by gratitude. Worship forms our relationships through shared praise. Worship shapes our character through obedience. Right? Worship is not something we merely do. It is something God uses to shape what we are becoming. And the third thing that Paul says to us is this, that worship is a whole life offering, not a one-hour activity. Now, so Paul widens the circle dramatically here, and he says, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Worship is not limited to the sanctuary. Worship does not begin and end with a call to worship and a benediction. Worship is not defined by a style of music or an order of service. For the follower of God, worship becomes life. We worship when we forgive quickly. We worship when we love someone who frustrates us. We worship when we work honestly and humbly. We worship when we care for family members who cannot care for themselves. We worship when we sit by someone in grief or celebrate with someone in joy. We worship when we choose generosity instead of stinginess. We worship when we serve someone who cannot repay us. Right? In other words, worship is the posture of a life surrendered to Jesus. A person can attend weekly church and not worship. Do you hear what I'm saying? A person can worship deeply while washing the dishes, sitting bedside with a neighbor, or taking a walk and praying. Paul is reminding us that worship is not something we visit or go to. It is something that we live. And Paul says this, that worship fuels mission. Why does worship matter to our mission statement? Because worship makes the gospel visible. When we worship authentically, gratitude replaces grumbling, joy replaces exhaustion, humility replaces pride, compassion replaces indifference. And that becomes a witness. People will notice a church like that. Even if they don't know or don't understand the language of faith, they recognize a life shaped by grace. Mission does not begin with marketing. It begins with worship. A worshiping church becomes a witnessing church because Jesus shines through a worshiping people. And this is why we included that our mission statement includes this statement: as we share the good news of Jesus Christ in a broken world. Because worship is not a retreat from the world. It is a preparation for the world. It reminds us why we go, who sends us, what the good news is that we are sharing. Because we are called to worship. And then Paul says this: we have a unified calling, not three options. And this brings us to a core conviction that we will repeat throughout this series. And at Concord Church, we don't choose between worship, discipleship, and service. We live all three as we share the good news of Jesus Christ. Because worship without discipleship becomes shallow. Discipleship without worship becomes rigid and intellectual. Service without worship becomes exhausting and unsustainable. But when worship fuels discipleship, and discipleship fuels service, and service leads us back to worship, we become a whole church living the gospel. So here's the challenge for us this week. Every follower of Jesus is called to be a worshiper. Every follower of Jesus is called to be a worshiper. Not just the musicians or the staff members or the Sunday regulars or the people who know the hymns or the contemporary songs. Everyone. And so this week I want you to lean into worship by returning weekly to corporate worship. Not casually, but intentionally. Now, how do you come to church? Do you come prepared? Do you pray, God, I'm coming to worship you. I'm ready to worship. I'm ready to see you. I'm ready to hear you. I'm ready to sing you. I mean, it's no surprise why a lot of couples will argue Saturday night and Sunday morning. Because Satan does not want you here. He does not want you to worship. In fact, you know, I have a bunch of statistics here. I'm not sure I'm going to share them all, but used to be when people said they went to church on a regular basis, they went to church four times a month, three or four times a month, we'll say that. That number is now two, and it's trending towards one. Generation Z, people who are 19 to 29 years old, on average, attend 23 services a year, which is about two Sundays a month. They're the highest. Millennials, people between 30 and 45, attend 22 services a month, a year, about 1.8 a month. Gen Xers, people 46 to 61, make it to about 19 out of 52 Sundays, which is 1.6 times a month. Boomers, who are 62 to 80, and builders, who are 81 plus, average just under 17 visits a year, or 1.4 visits a month. If we want to be shaped by worship, we must make it a priority in our lives. Not because it's routine, not because this is just what we do, but because God meets us here. Second thing I want you to lean into is to practice daily worship. Read the word. Pray. Have gratitude. Experience a silence before God. And thirdly, see your life as your altar. Every word you say, every task you do, every choice you make, every relationship you have, offer it to God as thanksgiving. Because worship is not something that we attend. It is who we are becoming. And may God continue to transform us by his grace. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for you, and we are grateful for your word. We are grateful for the ways that you shape us. And we pray, O God, that you would be the center of our lives and our church. Teach us not just to sing worship, but to live worship. Let your word dwell richly in us. Shape us into a people whose heart shines with gratitude. Use our worship to prepare us to share your good news in a broken world. And form Concord Church into a Christ-centered community that lives to worship, to grow, and to serve, all for your glory. Amen.